Good afternoon, and welcome to the SQM 2019 first quarter earnings conference call. All participants will be in listen-only mode. Should you need assistance, please signal a conference specialist by pressing the star key followed by zero. After today's presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on your touch-tone phone. To withdraw your question, please press star and then two. Please note this event is being recorded. I would like to turn the conference over to Gerardo Alanis, CFO. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to SQM's first quarter 2019 earnings conference call. For your information, this conference call will be recorded and is being webcast live. You may access the webcast later on at our website, www.sqm.com. A presentation with a summary of the results have been uploaded at our website and is also available on our webcast. Joining me today as speaker is Ricardo Ramos, Chief Executive Officer. Before we begin, let me remind you that statements in this conference concerning the company's business outlook, future economic performance, anticipated profitabilities, revenues, expenses, or other financial items, anticipated cost synergies, and product or service line growth, together with other statements that are not historical facts, are forward-looking statements as that term is defined under federal securities law. Any forward-looking statements are estimates reflecting the best judgment of SQM based on currently available information and involve a number of risks, uncertainties, and other factors that could cause actual results to differ materially from those stated in such statements. Risks, uncertainties, and factors that could affect the accuracy of such forward-looking statements are identified in the public filings made with the Securities and Exchange Commission, and forward-looking statements should be considered in light of those factors. I now leave you with our Chief Executive Officer, Ricardo Ramos, for brief comments before we move to Q&A.
Good morning, and thank you for joining our first quarter 2019 earnings conference call. If you turn to page three of the webcast presentation, you will see a summary of the results posted last night. Our revenue for the 3 months ended March 31, 2019, and our net income reached $80 million. We reported a lower adjusted EBITDA this year when compared to the first quarter last year, reaching $169 million. On page four, as you can see some highlights for the quarter, in general, we saw higher prices related to the iron and potassium chloride business lines when compared to the same period last year. In fact, we reported the highest quarterly iron revenue since 2013. Sales volumes in the iron, specialty plant nutrition, and lithium business lines also increased. We believe our commercial lithium strategy was successful during the first quarter as a result of our short-term contract and spot sales approach. We saw average prices in the lithium business line of approximately $14,600 per ton. As mentioned in the press release, we continue with our plans to increase our lithium carbonate capacity in Chile. We currently have a capacity of 70,000 metric tons. Flexibility is key for our successful participation in a fast-growing market such as lithium, and so we are working to ensure you can meet the changing and more demanding requirements of our customers. Iron sales volumes reached 3,500 metric tons, higher compared to previous quarters. Also, iron prices reached the highest levels reported since 2015, surpassing $27 per kilogram. Turning to page five, as I mentioned earlier, our adjusted EBITDA and gross profit decreased in the first quarter 2019. And as you can see in the chart, it was primarily a result of lower margins in the lithium business line. This was in line with expectations and was significantly impacted by higher lease payments to Corfo, which became effective on April 10, 2018. During the first quarter this year, we paid approximately $30 million more in lease payments to Corfo when compared to the same period last year. We remind you that our variable payments to Corfo are a function of the price of lithium. The lower the price, the lower the effective lease payments rate. Lower sales volumes of potassium chloride also impacted our gross profit and adjusted EBITDA. Sales volumes in the business line decreased approximately 24% in the first quarter 2019 compared to the same period last year. Additionally, sales volumes in the industrial chemical business line decreased approximately 40% related to lower solar sales volumes. However, during 2019, we expect to report similar sales volumes for the industrial chemical business line as we reported last year. As mentioned on the previous slide, iron prices are up significantly, which has positive impact in our gross profit and adjusted EBITDA. When we look past the first quarter, we continue to believe that demand in lithium market could reach close to 1 million tons by 2025. We feel that demand in 2019 will grow approximately 17%. New supply will have an impact on pricing this year, and our average price could fall an additionally 20%, reaching approximately $11,000 to $12,000 per metric tons during the second half of this year. Our production for 2019 is expected to be about 60,000 metric tons, and our sales volumes are expected to reach between 45,000 to 50,000 metric tons. Previously estimated in 2020, we expect our sales volumes in the lithium business line are to grow approximately 30%. The vast majority of the growth that we are seeing in the market is related to electric vehicles, with batteries coming from Japan, South Korea, and China. As anticipated, we sold little, if any, product in China during the early months of the year. It is probable that we will return to the sale in China in the coming quarters. In the iron and potassium nitrate markets, growth is expected to be 3% and 6% respectively. Our sales volumes will likely grow with the market in both business lines. We hope to see the upward price trend in iron continue, but this, of course, will depend on the supply-demand balance. Turning to page 6, as we mentioned in our press release last night, we believe that the operational flexibility is essential for the future success of SQM, and this is a key component of our strategy. Both the lithium carbonate and lithium hydroxide markets are growing at a significant and unprecedented levels, and therefore, we are currently working on our lithium carbonate expansion to produce 120,000 metric tons per year. We believe this expansion will be completed during the second half of 2021 with a capex of approximately $280 million. We are also expanding our lithium hydroxide capacity in Chile to reach 29,500 metric tons in 2021 with an expected capex of $100 million. On a separate note, a few weeks ago, we successfully placed a 144A bond in international markets. We issued $450 million 10-year bond with a coupon rate of 4.25%. We were very pleased with the results, and we believe this shows the market continue and a strong interest in our company and the markets in which we participate. Before I end open line for questions, I would like to welcome the new board members who were elected last month. With that, I will end my prepared remarks and open the lines for questions.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your touch-tone phone. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. To withdraw your question, please press star and then two. At this time, we will pause momentarily to assemble our roster. The first question comes from Isabella Simonto with Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Ricardo and Gerardo. One question on lithium. Your guidance of pricing or the premium declining in the second half of the year, can you elaborate the pricing dynamics you're seeing for both carbonate and hydroxide? We saw different outlooks from your competitors in the earnings, in the first quarter earnings, so we wanted to understand your view on both the carbonate and the hydroxide. Thank you.
Hi, Isabella. First, the dynamics of the pricing in lithium carbonate and lithium hydroxide is really dynamic. We don't foresee now a clear path for to differentiate both products. I think that it's too early to know where they are going, if they are going to be close or not in the near future. What I want to say is that when we put the pricing in the second half this year as an expected average pricing, we don't foresee for the moment a difference between carbonate and hydroxide different than the difference we had during last quarter. It means for the moment being, we don't foresee any big change in the difference between carbon and hydroxide in the short term. But really something in the short term, probably will be some changes in the future. We are very open to review the market conditions, and that's why, as I explained during the press release, we explained we want to have the flexibility in the future to adapt our production for both alternatives.
That's clear. Thank you.
The next question comes from Cesar Perez Nova with BTG Pactual. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen, and thank you for taking my questions. I have a few, if you don't mind. The first relates to your 120K lithium carbonate expansion, which got pushed out away by nearly a year. I was wondering if the delay is associated by market softness or has to do more with technical reasons or perhaps permitting. If you could clarify, that would be extremely helpful. My second question comes to pricing. You mentioned in your press release that prices in the second half of the year will converge towards $11,000 to $12,000 per ton. I was wondering if this is your specific market assessment, or if this is hard data, as perhaps you may have physical sales already committed at that price range in the second half of the year. And third and finally, you point to a 315,000 metric ton market, lithium carbonate market in the year, in your press release, of course, which seems like a surplus for 2019. Please correct me if I'm wrong. If so, can this excess volume be absorbed in the short term or medium terms, potentially driving up prices again, taking in consideration as well the global trade dynamics, which is essentially hitting every single commodity product. So those would be my questions. Thank you.
Hola, César. Buenos días. First, really,
hola. ¿Cómo estás, Ricardo?
Bien, gracias. Regarding your first question regarding 120,000 metric tons, as you know, the completion of the expansion from 48,000 to 70,000 metric tons took more time than expected. And the new expansion from 70 to 120 is significantly larger, and we want to be sure it will be right. Additionally, we expect that the new expansion will allow us to have the flexibility that a fast-growing market like lithium needs. And as we speak now, we're working very hard in the engineering for the third stage that will enable us to reach the 80,000 metric tons. By the end of this year, we expect to have a clear timeline for this new project. This regarding the 120,000 metric tons expansion. Regarding the pricing for the second half, and if it is a hard number or just an idea, it's both. Usually you have some projections about the market, but now we have some negotiations and we closed some sales in the second half of the year. We are working now, of course, second quarter is already on the middle of the closing procedure with different customers. And we're just working, of course, in third and fourth quarter clients. That's why our projection for the third and fourth quarter is a mix between what we expect of future business that we expect to close in the next few months, plus some business that mm-hmm. we already closed in different countries like South Korea, Japan, and China for the second half this year. Finally,
okay.
Let me check. What was the last question?
Yeah, I was asking about the size of the overall lithium market in 2019. You mentioned 315,000, and that seemed to be a little bit high figure and perhaps a surplus for the year. If you know that's the case, which I may be wrong, if you would expect this excess volume to be consumed in the short term.
I think we don't have a clear figure of the total world production for this year. We have a very good, we think, estimate about the demand in the 315,000 metric tons we inform. Probably the total production will be higher, some higher than 315,000 metric tons. But in this specific market, it's always important to consider that the demand is growing at the level of 20% per year. We think that next year, means 2020, demand will grow probably in the close of 20% as compared to this year. And you are starting with a 315,000 metric tons. You are thinking about close to 70,000 metric tons of additional demand next year as compared to this year. This is 2020. And again, another 20% in 2021. It means in a market that is growing so high, like lithium, having an additional supply is not a big issue 1 year, unless, of course, you have additional supply or other supply every single year. That's why we don't think that a potential additional oversupply this year is a big issue. Anyway, as you know, it's important to consider that originally we projected close to 325,000 metric tons, and now our projection is 315. We think the reduction is mainly related with some delay in production from new battery factories that will be recovered during the next 2 years. That's why it's important to consider that we maintain our long-term projection of the demand. And that's very important in the long-term view we have of the lithium business.
All right, fair enough. Thank you very much for your explanation, Ricardo.
The next question goes to Alex Falco with HSBC. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, guys. Two quick questions for me. One is you changed your guidance for production and CapEx. So not only it's costing more, but you know, you look at the numbers of 2021, significantly less, 60,000 less. You comment on, you know, that you want to do this right. I just want to, you know, explore a little bit further than this. Do you still see demand for a further expansion to those original volumes, or are you going to wait until we get there to see if that's going to happen? And what is the reason behind the increase in the CapEx? Thank you.
Yeah, I already explained the some delay in the 120,000 expansion, a small delay, but it will be ready at the end of the year 2021. It's not, the delay is not related because the market or the demand. Second, the total investment we expect for the 120,000 metric tons is because we expect to have a better facility. It's a big expansion. We're talking about moving from 70 to 120,000, means 50,000 metric tons expansion. Is double than the expansion from 48, not double, but almost double than the expansion from 50 to 70,000 metric tons that we had early. It means it's a very important, more than double, expansion that we're facing now. And we want to be more than sure that the product will be the best product worldwide and will be available to sell to any quality requirement we will have in the future. Thus, we want to be sure it's going to be the best facility in the world. That's why it's going to be a better plant, a better facility. That's for sure. Second, our plan, expansion plan, is not, we're not waiting until the market gives us signal to do it. We're going as fast as we can. Keep in mind that a 50,000 metric tons expansion is a huge one. It's one of the largest expansion in the world. And the next step is a 60,000 metric tons, and we're working very hard on it. Means I will have to have, as soon as I can, the 60,000 metric tons in order to reach the 180,000 metric tons. means we will inform at the end of this year our timetable of the new investment, but we will not be waiting until the market signals in order to do it. We will try to do our best in order to be as soon as we can, but again, trying to have the best facility you can have in order to supply the best lithium to the market. Additionally, as we inform now, we decided to increase our lithium hydroxide capacity, and a very important increase in Chile. We're moving to close to 30,000 metric tons of lithium hydroxide capacity in Chile. That's, again, a very important signal. And probably now we are, as we are reviewing the strategy and the engineering to move from the 120 and 180, we are also reviewing to increase again the lithium hydroxide capacity in the third stage. Again, we are doing our best. We are fully committed in the lithium. We are trying to deliver the best facility worldwide, the best quality products. We will do it as soon as we can in order to deliver the best project.
Okay. And just a quick follow-up. When you say difficulties in increasing capacity, is that a quality problem, or it's the lithium that you're extracting is not in the same purity or specifications that you had? Is that a fair assumption, or and therefore that's why the premium is gone, or basically it's production in itself, so you're not being able to get there?
Just to do it right, we have no problems at the Salar de Atacama site. We have the perfect quality solutions in order to move forward. But just to keep in mind, we have a huge, a very important project in Australia. It's a big one. It's a complex one. It's a 45,000 metric tons. We are talking here on a capacity increase from 70 to 120, means 50,000 metric tons. We took it. It's a serious expansion. It's important to do it and to do it right. Safety requirements, agreements with the vendors, engineering, construction, everything to do it and to do it right. It's a complex project because it is a big project. We know how to do it, yes. We know the technology, yes. We learn from the increased capacity from 50 to 70, yes. We learn a lot. And we're going to be great from the beginning. But anyway, it's a big project. And the other one, moving from 120 to 180, is a 60,000 metric tons capacity. It means 50% higher than our project in Australia. It's probably alone, a 60,000 metric tons is one of the largest projects worldwide. And again, if we are going to put every single effort in order to deliver a great project. It's a lot of engineering, a lot of contractors, a lot of supplier agreements, and we need to do it and do it right. That's the complexities. Big projects, and we have to deliver.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
The next question comes from Joel Jackson with BMO Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. A few questions. So when you last updated when we did the Q4 call a few months ago, I believe the idea was that you would produce a little more than 60,000 tons of lithium this year and build about 15,000 tons of inventory. Now you're saying you'll do maybe 60,000, a little bit less than 60,000. Are you still expecting to build 15,000 tons of inventory, or you will be building less inventory this year?
Yes, numbers are very similar to last quarter conference call. It means our original idea was to be close to 60,000 metric tons, and we're going to be close to 60,000 metric tons total production. The production will be producing a full rate, annual rate of 70,000 metric tons capacity second half this year. That's why most of the production of the 60,000 will be at the end of the year. That's why even though we're going to increase the inventory, we're going to increase the inventory at the end of the year. But yes, it is not a different approach than the approach we have 3 months ago in terms of having additional inventory at the end of this year.
Okay. And following up on that, where I'm also a bit confused is because I believe that you were all suggesting a few months ago to think about that SQM would run about 90% of the capacity. So you have 70, but you'd really run kind of low 60s. Now, for you to achieve 65,000 ton sales volume next year, are you assuming you're running at 100%? At 90% plus maybe reducing your inventory build in 2019, Like, how do you get 65,000 tons of sales next year?
Yeah, as I mentioned to you before, we expect to be at 70,000 metric tons annual capacity at the end of during the second half this year. It means that next year I do expect to produce 70,000 metric tons lithium. And of course, this 2020, we do expect to have a significant increase again in volume sales in 2021. We will increase some inventory next year, but it's a small amount of inventory in order to face and increase sales of the year 2021.
Okay, and finally, when we look at the price guidance the second half of the year, 11 to 12,000 a ton ASP, how much of that pricing is locked in right now where you know what your customers are going to pay? And then there was a big discussion that you presented a few months ago about, you know, SQM was achieving better than market prices, but there will be a step down in 2019 as you would now be achieving market prices. So at 11 to 12,000 a ton, are you now achieving market prices?
Yes, definitely we think second half this year is the market pricing. It's what we do expect as an average of the market pricing. Again, we are in the middle of negotiation with many customers. Some of them we have some formal closing, other of them is preliminary closing. And we think that our estimates, our guidelines between 11 to 12,000 is the right one today. I prefer not to disclose the exact amount of tonnage that is already closed and the tonnage that is under negotiation, but I'm going to repeat it that it's based on both expectation and physical closing and commitment from different customers.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question comes from Ben Isaacson with Scotiabank. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. First of all, thank you for providing more guidance. That's quite helpful. When I look at your cost of goods sold per ton in lithium, it seems like it's averaged around $5,000 in Q1 and in Q4. Less than 2 years ago, it was about half of that at around $2,500. Can you talk about where that run rate should be on a COGS per ton basis and how you see that evolving with the further stages of lithium expansion?
Okay, Ben, first we have to be careful about where we allocate the cost of the Corfo payment. You have to...
Yeah, I'm not including the royalties.
You are deducting the Corfo. Yes, because we had the ramp up, we're starting producing during fourth quarter last year and this year the new capacity. We have some additional expenses related to this new capacity in order to have the everything working according to expectation. Some additional maintenance, some changing in equipment, some stop of the production for days and so on. And the yields was not as good as expected in the beginning. That's why I think we have some additional or extraordinary costs during the last two quarters, and I expect that in the long term, cost of producing lithium will be similar to the cost of producing lithium that we had probably 1 year ago.
Okay, so lithium prices are falling. We've been watching that for a while. What is your assessment in terms of where there is cost curve support for lithium over the midterm, like from a pricing point of view?
Yeah, it's important to consider that as is mentioned in our statement, the payment to Corfo that is quite important depends on pricing. When you move, for example, just an example, if the price is $10,000 of the lithium, the price, the percentage you pay to Corfo is 13.7%. It means $1,400 per ton. If you move down, we're talking about what happens if the cost, if the price goes down. My cost goes really, really, really down because between $7,000 and $10,000, the marginal payment to Corfo is 25%. That's why the payment to Corfo is being reduced a lot when you go down from $10,000 per ton. Of course, when you go up from 10,000, the payment to Corfo it's 40%. The market cost is something very difficult to estimate, and we think, considering that the market is growing, or the other competitors' cost, or new project cost, because the market is growing 20% per year, you have to consider not the marginal cash cost, you need to consider the total cost, because you have new projects coming on the market every year or every 2 years in order to fulfill the need of the market. And in order to get to develop these new projects in Australia or wherever they are going to be developed, mainly in Australia, they need to pay the full cost considering investment. In the long term, you should consider that what really matters is the total cost of competitors or new competitors when the market is going to be 600 or 700,000 metric tons. Those competitors, those new projects in the future that are being, of course, more the cost will be higher than today. Those are the ones that really are the ones that are going to put the long-term pricing in the industry. Again, our cost position is very strong. We maintain a very strong cost position. Probably we will improve some of it. And again, the agreement with Corfo allow us to have a very strong cost competitive cost position because, as I explained to you before, we reduce the payment. Really, it's not a cost, the one we have with Corfo. You can call it a profit sharing system. And that's the way it is, was the agreement.
Thank you. And my last question is, this 120,000 ton expansion, sorry to bring it up again. I think originally you had this coming on at the end of 19. In March, I think there was an article in Chile where you gave an interview about it coming at the end of 20 and now the second half of 21. Are you comfortable with this date now? Is there a risk that this gets pushed back another year or two if it's not related to market conditions or technical issues?
First, I'm not so sure about the article in Chile. If I said 2020, if I said that, probably was wrong, because 2021 is the right timing now. What I want to be very sure is that we're really full committed as we speak to be producing at the end of the year 2021. We think we solve and we take into account all the issues of the previous expansion from 48 to 70. I think was a very good idea to delay the project, not because of the market conditions, to delay the project because we learn and we are going to have a better production facility in order to have the best quality worldwide of lithium carbonate and lithium hydroxide. And it's going to be a better facility. We have been reviewing the project in a daily basis. May I say now that probably from the 280,000 metric tons, close to $100 million are already committed. Some of the new facilities or new equipment are already in the north of Chile. It means we're a full production, moving very, very fast, but trying to do it right. That's why I prefer to say that not before the end of the second half 2021, but we're really committed about this timeline, and we're really committed about having the best production facility in the world at the end of the year 2021.
And just a point of clarification, when you say you're really trying to make it the best facility, how do you measure that? Does that mean lower costs than where we were a year ago? Does that mean lower maintenance capex? What is it that you're trying to achieve that perhaps you didn't in the original estimate of the phase coming on in 2019?
The lithium business and lithium market is changing every day, and the requirement from clients, especially in the electric vehicles market, are more complicated and more difficult requirements today to what used to be 2 or 3 years ago. That's why having a better facility allows you to have the flexibility to produce better quality products and to be able, as SQM is in the past, has been in the past and will be in the future, the best provider of lithium worldwide. It means who will provide the best lithium, and if you request a very specific quality of lithium, we want to be ready to deliver you the lithium you need in order to produce the specific battery you want to produce. It means a better production facility means better yields, yes, of course. Better cost, yes, but the most important one is having the flexibility and the quality to deliver the product that is needed by the different customers we have.
Thank you very much. That's helpful.
This concludes our question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to Gerardo Alanis for any closing remarks.
Thank you all for joining us today, and we hope to have you with us in the next conference call. Goodbye, everyone.
The conference is now concluded. Thank you for attending today's presentation. You may now disconnect.